Romans chapter 16. Folks, you've heard the next statement for the last time. We are continuing our series of the book of Romans this morning. Unless I choose to say it again, then you've heard that for the last time. We are wrapping up the book of Romans. We started this back when I was a teenager. Pastor started the book of Romans. We actually, Brother Justin and I, went into the biblical archives, whatever that is. We found out there's four more chapters. You guys want us to finish the four? You don't just stop. It's not in there. I'm just kidding. That's heresy. Don't listen to what I said. But we're wrapping up the book of Romans, the end of chapter, or the last half, I should say, of chapter 16. And I want to read that to you here this morning. We're looking forward to the Word of God and what it has to offer to us. And I have some things here that I want to share with you. And I'm keeping my eye on the clock and all that kind of good stuff. But let's join ourselves together as we look at this last half of the last chapter of the book of Romans. I'm going to read it. I want you to stand, if you will, with me. If you're not able to, don't worry about it. But let's stand together. This will be the last time you will be able to stand for another hour and a half. So take advantage of it, okay? Verse 17 is where we're beginning in the book of Romans chapter 16. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Timotheus, my work fellow, and Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, my host and of the whole church, salute you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you, and Quartus, a brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. I want to help you with four things here this morning that I find in this passage that I believe will be a help to you. We're going to go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we will present this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity we have to meet around your word. Open it up, read it, learn from it, apply it to our lives. Lord, there's just so many here today who, if not everyone, who are just spiritually hungry for your word, and we crave it. We have a hunger for it, and we ask that you would do a work in our individual lives, Lord. Even as I present this message, may your word speak to my heart, and may it be used to be a blessing to these, your people, who are here present, as well as those who may be watching our service as well. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Please use me to be a help, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. It's interesting to me in the book of Romans chapter 16 how that Paul, as you experienced last Sunday, if you were here, begins to acknowledge people. If I'm not mistaken, before my reading, there were 29 people that Pastor taught us about last week, if you remember that, okay? And he went through and he shared name after name and who this person was, how they helped the Apostle Paul. And there were a lot of names. And he went through that and shared that. Now, what's interesting to me is that we feel that In this chapter, when Paul gets to that point, we feel like he's kind of closing it out. You know what I'm talking about? He's kind of winding it down. In ministry, we call it landing the plane. You know what I'm saying? Landing the plane. You've been in a service, and the pastor says, you know, or the preacher says, well, this morning I want to help you with a passage of Scripture. And this morning I've got three things I want to share with you. And so if you're like me, and that could be partly carnally minded, I don't know. I'm thinking, all right, give me number one. Okay, I'm looking, you know, number one. Second one is given, okay, all right, we're over halfway through now, right? Because there's three. And boy, when that third one comes in, it's like, okay, I got the message, it's good, time is good. I smell the roast in the cooker, you know, let's go home and eat. And you're not like me, because you're looking at me like, what? Anyway, I'm thinking, you know, you kind of time it out in your mind, okay? Have you ever been in those services where the preacher does that, and then after he gives you those three, he says, now I'm going to give you 12 ways you can apply that to your life. He just went, he was landing that thing, and then what'd he do? Yeah. You know that wonderful feeling you have? You ever flown much where you on an airplane? What's that? What's the best part of the trip? To me, it's the landing. Why? I am with you always, God says, okay? So I claim that truth, all right? So I'm glad when we get down to earth. But what is the first thing we do? We wake up, right? We wake up, we gather our things. It's kind of like church when the pastor's landing the plane. You know, we wake up, we gather our things, and we look forward to where we're going next, okay? Anyway, Paul is landing the plane. I want to thank so-and-so and such and him and her and all these people. And we're thinking, okay, all right, that sounds good. Boy, this has been a great series on the book of Romans. I'll tell you what, he starts listing the. Well, you know what he does? He doesn't even hit the runway until God gives him another thought. Because if you notice, he's listed several names. Then he stops, teaches a powerful truth or two. And then what does he do? He goes right back to listing some more names. Do you see that in the passage? And so Paul is, boy, he's starting to land that plane, and then he takes off. How many of you agree, you know, sometimes in our conversation, we're talking to someone, we're wrapping up the conversation, and then we remember something else we need to say. You know, so we take back off on it again. You know, the older you get, I'm not old, but the older some of you get, I've heard how that happens to you. And so, but yeah, it happens to me all the time. Okay, I've got it. Yeah. Oh, by the way, and there's a whole other topic brought up. Well, we're not going to give Paul a hard time for this because he actually brings some wonderful truths to us. Even after I feel like he's kind of winding it down and landing the plane on the book of Romans, he takes off again in verse 17. But I'm telling you what, folks, we're glad that he followed the Holy Spirit and did this because there's some powerful things here that we want to help. There's four things I want to help you with this morning. When I finish the fourth one, I will help you with 17 ways that you can... No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. It's interesting to see what Paul does here. Now, he's listed these names, he's acknowledged these people, and then we see him taking off on another truth. And I'm glad that he does. We're starting off this morning with what I'm calling, first of all, a passionate warning. A passionate warning. We see this in verses 17 and 18. The Bible says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. There's something on the heart of the Apostle Paul that in the middle of giving accolades to all these people, which he was very wise in doing, and we're going to address that in a few minutes, he stops, and I'm wondering if he starts to thinking about all the truths and doctrines that he taught in this book to these people. And he just feels like, one more time, let me just remind you folks. Let me just tell you. These things in these 15 chapters that I have taught you, I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be people that try to deceitfully or use deceitful, deceiving words to twist and turn what I said to try to get you to go in another direction. And so he very passionately gives this warning. And he says, I want you to listen closely. I've taught you some things in the book of Romans. I've taught you about justification. I've taught you about salvation by grace through faith. I've taught you about how that one man came into the world that brought sin into the world, but another man came into the world who paid for our sin debt and our hell and gives us a home in heaven if we trust him. I mean, he goes and he's, I think maybe at least in his mind, he doesn't review these things obviously in the passage, but in his mind he's thinking about all these things he's taught them and he says, I want you to understand something, folks. There's people out there who are going to try to deceive you. And it's going to sound good. You know, the devil works in different ways. But one thing people who are deceiving with their words are not going to say, oh, now that you trust Jesus, okay, let me share with you how you can serve the devil. But we'd be like, oh, I don't do that. What in the world are you saying? That's heresy. But I will tell you this, that back then, there were people who would say things that would get newer Christians off track. And they would believe a whole different belief system because they were such a babe in Christ. They were new to this thing. And they would get those people and try to change their thinking. How many of you agree with me? We have to be careful who and what we listen to. Are we together on that this morning? Okay. Years ago, when I was in Bible college, I got what I believe was my best job ever then, back then. This is my best job ever. And I was, the reason it was, one of the main reasons why it was my best job ever is because I made the most money. I made $8 an hour. Okay, let's go out and eat, you know what I'm saying? I made eight, I was so excited. I had never made $8. Matter of fact, here in 2021, no, I'm just kidding. You'll get it in a minute. I had never made that much money in my life. And so I was excited about this job. Now, there was a negative to it. It was what we called third shift. So that's some people I think here call it graveyard. Yeah, graveyard, okay. Third shift, 10 p.m., 6 a.m. Get back, change clothes, go to school at 8. Get done at 1, 1:30, take a nap, and start all over again. But you know what? I was excited. And so you know when you enter into a new job, whatever the guy in charge tells you is like gospel, okay? You're like, okay, now you need to do it. And you've got that mind that's aware. You're paying attention. You don't want to miss anything, okay? And so I met with the manager. He paired me up with another fellow who had been there for several years. He knew this thing like the back of his hand. And so I was just open and just trying to be listening and observant. I didn't want him to have to tell me the same thing twice, you know. So I was just listening and observant and trying to follow whatever he said. So I'm helping him load this trailer. This was Overnight Trucking Company in Chicago. It's cold overnight in Chicago, in case you're wondering. Anyway, and so we're loading this trailer and we're about 3 feet or so from finishing it out. But on the dock, as we looked at the freight on the dock, the pallets and the pieces of the boxes and whatnot, there was more than would fit in that last 3 feet. And so he had been giving me instructions on how to load things and high and tight and you be careful here and sign it here, indicate here if there's any damage, put it there. Okay, I'm listening. And just as serious as anything else he said, he goes, you know what, Chris, we're not going to be able to it doesn't look like we're going to be able to fit this in the trailer. I tell you what, run up to the manager's office and tell him that we need a trailer stretcher. I said, okay. So I go up to the manager's This is the manager's office, by the way, okay? I'm doing a one-man drama, okay? I go over to the manager's office. These are all the managers. Look at these guys over here. And I say, manager, you know this is my first night because you just met me and you put me with this guy and we ran out of room. I'm supposed to be asking for a trailer stretcher. After 10 minutes of laughing, he said, son, there's no such thing as a trailer stretcher. How many of you would really agree with me that you have to be careful who and what you listen to? Okay? And so the Apostle Paul is warning these Christians. He's saying, hey, I'm telling you right now, there are people who are going to try to turn your mind. Now, they're going to do it it's going to sound amazing. It's going to sound like, wow, they're so eloquent speaker. Now, I'm not saying that everyone who's an eloquent speaker who presents something that sounds appealing is wrong. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that that is the process that most of that style of teaching takes. Why? To get your attention. They're not going to say, turn your back on God and follow this path. Okay, they're not going to say that. They're going to say, hey, this is kind of what God would want you to do. Sounds very similar to the Garden of Eden, doesn't it? Sounded appealing. I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn everything good and bad. I'm going to have all not. Well, this sounds like a great thing. Well, we all know that didn't turn out too well. And so Paul is reminding them. He's saying, hey, I want you to mark them. When you listen to them and it doesn't add up, you know, it doesn't quite sound like what I've been teaching you in these last 15 chapters, I want you to mark them. And later in the verse, he says, I also want you to what? Avoid them. Stay away from them. They deceive with impressive words and speeches. You know, there were, and I might have already said this, but there were people in that day just looking for new Christians, new believers to try to twist and turn their minds in a different direction. I remember when I was a teenager, there was a pretty impressive commercial about, if you've just trusted Jesus as your Savior, we want to give you a new Bible. And I remember being a teenager thinking, oh, that's kind of cool. You know. Until we learned the behind the scenes was, not only were they going to give you a new Bible, they were also going to present you with another book that they believed was just as important or more important than the Bible, and try to get you involved in that as well. I'm not here to knock down any other belief system. I'm here to uplift this because this is what we need to dive into. Okay? And Paul says, hey, those things that I taught you, hey, remember those things. Don't listen to those deceiving you, those who would try to turn and twist your thinking around. He's very passionate about that. In other passages, we see this type of teaching as well. In Matthew 7:15, it says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are revenging wolves. It looks really nice and friendly and exciting, but it doesn't line up with the Word of God. Also in 1 Timothy 6:3-5, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strife of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds, and destitute. That word destitute means lacking of the truth. Supposing that gain is godliness. You ever heard that before? From such withdraw thyself. So this is not the only time that the Apostle Paul, and even others for that matter, have challenged people very passionately to be careful about what you listen to. Folks, that is still alive and true today. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful. Well, it just sounds so wonderful and so good. Well, let me just share with you. There was a group of people that we learn in the book of Acts chapter 17 who can teach us a whole lot about how to deal with information that sounds appealing but we're not sure if it's quite lines up with the Bible. And I kind of want to just quickly dive into this and explain it to you and illustrate it for you. And we kind of find ourselves in the middle of a story here, but it's just two verses of Acts 17, 10 and 11. It says, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those of Thessalonica." Now, these who? These of Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why were they more noble? "In that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so." They received it. You're here this morning. Your ears are open. Your heart's open. Your mind's open. You want something from the Word of God. You're receiving it. But these folks, after they received it, you know what they did? They went home and they searched the Scriptures daily. They made sure that what they heard behind the pulpit lined up with the Word of God. Now, I can say this for myself and for the other for our pastor, because he's told us this, the other men on staff, when we present a message from the Word of God, we are presenting to you the Word of God. If we have an opinion about something, or, you know, I'm not sure clearly how it says, you know, but here's my thought, we'll say that. But we believe in giving out the Word of God and teaching that and letting it convict, letting it penetrate our hearts, letting it change our lives, okay? But these of Berea, they received it. They listened to it. But when they went home, they searched the Scriptures daily. They made sure that this is of the Lord. And you know what? And that helped put aside all that deceiving words and good statements that were impressive. Because I'm sure maybe sometime or another, those people heard something that didn't line up with the Word of God. And they said, you know what? We searched the Scripture today, and that didn't line up with what the Word of God says. So how does that help us this morning? It helps us by challenging ourselves to study the Scriptures daily, to search the Scriptures daily. Know your Bible. I'm not sure if we can completely know it from cover to cover at some point, but we can continue searching daily, can't we? And we can learn more about it today than what we learned yesterday. And as we progress through weeks and months and years, we have a knowledge of the Bible. So as when someone comes up and says, "Hey gang, listen up. You guys better get with it. There's a lot of work to do. You want to go to heaven? You better get working. There's a lot of, hey, you know what? When you stand before God, He's going to look at your works and determine if you go to heaven or not. You're going to be, hold on a minute. Wait a minute. Hold, that ain't what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says." My wife's trying to get me to stop saying ain't. And I ain't going to say it no more, okay? Anyway. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible, what's the Bible say in Ephesians? Hey, hold on a minute. Let's figure this thing out. He says here in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." What's the next phrase, class? "Not of works, lest any man should boast." We have to be careful about what we listen to and make sure that it aligns with the Word of God. And Paul, for some reason, and I'm glad he did, he stops mentioning all these people's names. He'll start up again in a minute to stop and warn the people one more time. Hey, listen, be careful what you listen to. Be careful. Make sure it lines up with Scripture. Make sure it could be, be careful, it might be sound too good to be true. Make sure, hey, if it lines up with Scripture, go for it. But be careful and make sure that it does. And so we see that. Next we see in verse 19, what I'm calling a personal walk. Paul begins to, he kind of starts bragging on the people a little bit, and that's nice. But then he challenges in that same verse, he challenges them with a statement that I want to help you with in both ways here this morning. A personal walk. Romans 16, 19, "For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, and simple concerning evil." Now, it's interesting. The first part of this verse, Paul is complimenting them on their obedience. He's saying, hey, by the way, your obedience, I don't just recognize it. I'm hearing about it from other people. You guys are making some wise decisions. And I will say this, just as a side note, when we make wise decisions, it does affect the lives of other people. Okay? I am a result, I believe, of a lot of people in my past making wise decisions, then directing me in that area of life and helping me find my way. I'm thankful for that. Our obedience, our decisions that we make have a direct impact on the people who we lead and who follow us in our footsteps. And Paul is commending them. He says, hey, that's a wonderful thing. But then he also offers kind of a admonition, and he says, you know what? I'm glad you're obedient. I've been hearing about it. That's wonderful. But I want you to work on something as well. I want you to be wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And I just want to say this under this point, a couple of things. First of all, be careful how much you know about worldly things. Well, I just want to be relevant in this world. There's enough relevancy in this book to keep us going a long time. Paul is admonishing the people and he says, I want you to spend your time and I want you to be wise to that which is good and I want you to be simple concerning evil. I don't want you spending a lot of time trying to learn why these people choose this sinful lifestyle. You want to be relevant and help them? Well, just start reading my word. I'll help you with that. I'm dropping stuff all over the place. I'll help you with that. I'll help you be relevant. You open up the word of God and you be wise to that which is good and simple to that which is evil. People may ask you, hey, do you know anything about this or that or the other? And it's a worldly topic that you really don't have any business. You know, I don't know a whole lot about that. There even may be other belief systems. I've knocked on people's door before. Let me grab this. And they'll say, well, I'm of the such and such or whatever, you know, belief system. And I say, well, I'm just here to share with you, invite you to church, share with you some truths from the Word of God quickly. And they'll say, well, I'm from this. And I say, you know what? I don't know a whole lot about that belief system, but I do know what God wants you to hear and could help you with today. We need to be, our time and attention needs to be on that which is good, not spending time on that which is evil. I'm not trying to learn how the devil works. I'm not trying to learn his tactics. I'm trying to learn the Word of God who helps me overcome those tactics. I'm trying to learn the Word of God who will help me overcome the problems that he presents in my life. And so we see that here this morning. We see a personal walk. Paul, the Apostle Paul, is saying, look, be simple to that which is evil. But I want you to be wise to that which is good. I want you to spend time knowing the real thing. I want you to spend time in the real thing so that when you do hear something that sounds a little off, you'll know the difference. You know, I'm told, at least years ago, when our currency was being tested to see about being counterfeit or not, some thought that, well, you would just study all the counterfeits out there so you could recognize them when you see them come through the cash flow. But that's not the way they did it back then. Now, they may have more high-tech ways of doing it now, and I'm sure they do. But some time ago, there was a way, and what they would do is they would study the real currency enough so that they could see if it was counterfeit or not. They'd know by studying the real thing. Now, this week, my wife gave me my allowance. And I hope you guys don't mind if I open it in front of you. Oh, good. She rounded it off this week, so I'm excited about that. She told me not to spend it at one place. I can't. Anyway. But one thing they do is they study the real thing. You know what they do? They listen to it. Can you hear it? They listen to it. Yeah. They hear how the real thing sounds. they look at it. Now, I can't read a thing on this without my reading glasses, but they look at it. Oh, here, you'll like this one. I love this one. They hold it up to the light. Lord, help us. The light is shining. Good night. I've never seen that president so clear in my life. Good old George Washington. He's the only president I've ever seen on any currency I've ever had. Are there other presidents out there on currency? I don't know if there are. This is the only one. Anyway. But they hold it up to the light. And they look at it. They feel it. They listen to it. And that's how they decide and know if it's counterfeit or not. They don't study the 1,000 counterfeits that are out there. They study the real thing. That's how they know. And you know what? In our lives today, we hear something. We look at it and we see if it measures up to the... Is that what's in the Bible? We listen to it. We make sure... We listen to the real thing. Okay? We look at the real thing. We hold it up to the light and say, Lord, show me the real thing. I want to know the real thing so that if I ever experience a counterfeit, I'll know it right away. And that's what the Apostle Paul is teaching these people here when he says, I want you to be wise to that which is good and simple to that which is evil. Now he continues on. And he shares verse 20, of course, as we continue in the personal walk. And he shares this verse with us. He says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Now, you ever read that, you're thinking, okay, what does that mean? Well, there's another passage of scripture in the book of Genesis where it's kind of the prophecy where the devil's destination is determined by God. And he shares a verse I'm going to share with you quickly in chapter 3 verse 15, and it says, I will put enmity between the woman and it shall bruise thy head, talking about Satan's head under our feet, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And so this passage is God reminding us of something. You be wise to that which is good and simple to that which is evil, and I'll keep the devil underfoot for you. I'll take care of him. I'll take care of that. Now, in Genesis, when it's talking about bruising his head, bruising our heel, in other words, what it's saying is, hey, the devil's going to fight. You've experienced that, right? You know what that feels like, right? But I want you to understand, he's still underfoot. He's going to bruise your heel, but you still have him under your foot. God says, I'm going to take care of him, but you be wise to that which is good. I don't know about you, but that's probably some of the best personal walk teaching that I've ever heard. Being wise to that which is good, simple to that which is evil, and trusting God to take care of the devil for us as we do that. And we see the Apostle Paul teaching that to the people and to us. Now, guess what? We continue on. Verse 21, guess what Paul starts doing? He comes back to start acknowledging people. And so next I have, this morning, a people and their work. We see that in the next few verses. I'm going to take a few minutes here just real quickly. We're going to talk about some of the people that Paul continues now to reference. And we're going to move on with the message and be done shortly. A people and their work. He gets right back at it. Verse 21, Timotheus. I'm going to go through and share with you some of these, or share with you these names and some things about them. Timotheus, of course, the Bible says he was a work fellow or fellow worker. His name means honoring God. He's mentioned 7 times in Paul's epistles. He was known as a son in the faith, the Apostle Paul. And when writing about Timotheus in the book of Philippians, Paul said about Timothy, he said for in chapter 2, verse 20, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Paul is beginning to acknowledge some more people, as he did before last week. He's beginning to acknowledge them for their co-laboring in the ministry. He's not only acknowledging them so that they can hear it, he's acknowledging them so that others can hear of what they're doing. We see not only Timotheus, but we also see Lucius, means a bright light, related to Paul. He was a relative of Paul. Some of these people were, it says it in the verse. Some of these were related to the Apostle Paul, minister of the gospel. Jason, I think that's how you pronounce it, one who will heal, ministered in Thessalonica. He was a kinsman as well. We see Sosipater, savior of his father. He was a kinsman. He was a minister. Now, don't let the fact that the repetitiveness of these, he was a minister, he was a minister. Wait. These were men and ladies we heard of last week who were co-laboring for the cause of Christ with the Apostle Paul, and they played a huge role. The Bible doesn't give a whole lot of information about them. History gives us a little bit more. But the fact is they were ministering, telling people about the Savior. They were helping families be put together. They were keeping people from listening to wrong teaching. These were busy people ministering. We see in verse 22, I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Tertius, he was a scribe who assisted Paul in the writing of this book. In verse 23, Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church, saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, salute you. And Quartus, a brother. There's three more here I want to quickly share. Gaius, he was a host who served guests in his home as a ministry. You know, there's people in our church here in this ministry who have remodeled their home so that when people pass through, missionaries, guest preachers, evangelists, those who are ministering in one way or another, can have a place to come and relax and even spend the night. We have people in our church who have folks over, and they do it as a ministry. They want to minister to people. We have a meal together. We learn more about each other. We encourage each other in the Lord. We pray together. That was the kind of guy that Gaius was. That was the kind of, he was a host. He was huge. And by the way, that is huge in helping babes in Christ grow. That is huge in keeping them from listening to false teaching or teaching that would be contrary, as the Bible says, contrary to the Word of God. And so he played a huge role. This next man, Erastus, director of public works. He held a position in the city. He was an influential man. He was a Christian businessman. He loved the Lord, and he had a business going, of course, to take care of his business and his needs and his family's needs. But he was a man who believed in the work of God and gave to the work of God as a business person. And by the way, that's important. These are all important people. And Paul had, God had blessed him with these different people. Quartus, a fellow countryman and minister as well. All of these people, some were older, some were younger, some were family, some were not. But Paul takes time. Look, this is the Word of God. This is not just a half-sheet handout. So we know he is doing this under the leadership of the Holy Spirit for a purpose so that we today can still read about them. On purpose, he calls their names. He says, Timotheus, I want you to know something. You're like a son to me. I could depend on you. You love people. I didn't even have to teach you that. It came naturally. Was that Philippians 2:20, I believe, or one of those? He's telling not only Timotheus, he's telling the people. As we read it, we're the people. We learn of him. Folks, you know what's important in our life to learn from this as well as many other things? There are people in your life and my life that I need to verbally tell how much I appreciate them. I need to tell them. And I don't only need to tell them, I need to tell other people about them. I had the opportunity this week to visit Jonathan Terrell before he went to heaven yesterday. It opened up for him to have one visitor a day. The family asked me if I would go visit him on Wednesday. I went and visited him on Wednesday. He is not coherent. Yet they do tell me, and they did tell me then, that there's a very high percentage that folks like that can hear what you're saying. On the way to the hospital, I began thinking, because, you know, you're thinking about the message coming. I am, you know, you're thinking about all what's going on in the week, and I was thinking about last week's message with Pastor and this one coming up and everything. And I was thinking, you know, Jonathan has been a huge blessing in my life. I remember him as a teenager in the school when I was principal. We had some good times. He was one of the go-getters in the fundraisers. He would win the trips. Well, we went to Washington, D.C. We had a blast. He served our country in the military. He was a Sunday school teacher, some young elementary boys for a long time. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to spend some time telling him how much I appreciate him. Now, they say he can hear me. I don't know if they can or not, but I'm going to do it. And so I go in the room, and I'll be transparent with you, very transparent. If you've ever been in a situation like that, when you're talking to someone that can't communicate with you, you know, you just do it because you love the person, but you don't get any response back from them. And there was a nurse in the room, and so I went up there and I said, Jonathan, we had some good times, didn't we? Remember back in high school and even younger when you were in the school and the good times that we had? I said, I want to thank you for serving our country. I said, those boys in that Sunday school class are praying for you and they miss you. The nurse was standing around and I began to address her because I wasn't sure what she was thinking. And her name was Shirley. And I said, Shirley, I want you to know about Jonathan. I said, this is an awesome guy. He loves the Lord. Now, I said, I don't know if you believe in the Lord or not, Shirley. I said, but he loves the Lord. He's teaching young boys Sunday school lessons from the Bible every week. He served our country. She said, I'm glad you told me that. Most of the patients that I deal with, I really don't ever get to know who they are or what they do or anything about them. I'm telling you this more for my sake than I am for yours. If I'm not careful, I fail to verbally mention names of people that I appreciate. Do I appreciate them? Yeah. Do I love them? Mm-hmm. But if I'm not careful, I fail to verbally mention them to them and also to others about them. Paul is teaching us much more than about a group of people, even though they're very important people. He's teaching us to remember those who helped you get where you are and who are helping you as you speak and acknowledge them, to others. And he's teaching us a very important truth here. This morning I'm wondering, who is it in your life? Oh, you love them. You care for them deeply. Maybe you haven't told them as much as you should have. Maybe you've not shared their blessings of their life with other people. You know, the Apostle Paul challenges us in this way to do that very thing. And it challenged me when I was thinking about this passage and the situation with the illustration that I gave. Lastly, this morning, I'm on number four. I have 12 things I'm going to help you with after these. And I'm going to tell three tear-jerking illustrations. And then I'm going to stop. I'm just kidding. Lastly, a powerful witness. Boy, he wraps it up on a high note. I love how the Apostle Paul wraps up this last few verses of this chapter and of this book. Let me read it to you. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. That word manifest means understood, recognized. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Paul is ending this chapter, ending this book, referring to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was consumed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was passionate about the gospel. Anybody who was in prison, suffering as he did, yet faithfully wrote others to encourage them, to encourage others to follow Jesus, was passionate about the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was excited about the fact that it had spread across, as the Bible said, spread to every nation, or made itself manifest, as we read earlier. We have an opportunity as Christians. The Apostle Paul took well advantage in his life, in his writings, and in his living to share the gospel with other people. Some was sharing it from a distance. Some was like Onesimus, whom he shared and led to Jesus there close by. No matter the case, he had a heart for the gospel. When you give to the work of God, and just a couple of weeks ago we gave missions, and why? Because you're passionate about the gospel reaching the whole world. You're also passionate about it reaching here. You know, as a church, we believe in sharing the gospel every single Sunday, no matter what the message topic is about. The gospel is presented for those who have not trusted Christ as their Savior, whether watching on our live stream or here in the auditorium, to trust Christ as their Savior. We believe in that. The Christmas program that we presented, hey, we're not just doing a Saturday night sing and a Sunday morning sing because it's Christmas time and we don't have anything else to do. We believe the gospel. And that's why the gospel will be presented in that. That's why we want you to encourage others to come. Not so you can hear somebody sing, though we want to be a blessing, but so that they can be encouraged as a Christian or hear the plan of salvation that will be given and trust Christ as their Savior. It's all about the gospel. Now, we believe that as a church, as a unified church, we believe that. But you know what, folks? In closing, we need to believe that individually. Lord, who can I share the gospel with? And this is one of the greatest seasons to do it. And it's all good seasons. When we celebrate the birth of our Savior.
Amen.
Amen? When we celebrate the birth of our... Boy, I'll tell you what, it gives you an inroad to offering and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul was consumed with it. That was his passion. That's what he lived for. And I want to challenge us this morning to have that same passion about telling somebody else about Jesus, a powerful witness. What he did in your life, what he'll do in their life. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. This morning we've covered four different topics from this passage of Scripture. We covered a warning. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful what you listen to. Make sure it lines up with the Word of God. We carried a personal walk, and the Apostle Paul encouraging us to search the Scriptures daily. We were again reminded of more people who were important to the Apostle Paul and reminded us to acknowledge verbally those who were important to us. And then we also were reminded of being a powerful witness, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to others. Now you're here this morning, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe the Lord spoke to your heart about any one of those four or more of them or something totally different, but just you were listening to the Holy Spirit and He was speaking to you about something totally different. But how many of you would join with me this morning in raising our hands saying, God spoke to me about something along the lines of this message or biblical truth this morning? Would you raise your hand with me as well? God spoke to my heart about something. Thank you so much. Now, you may be here this morning and you do not know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. You may be listening this morning and you do not know that. We know that the Bible teaches us clearly how that Jesus came. He died on the cross. He rose again 3 days later. He paid our sin debt and our hell for us so we don't have to go there. You might be here listening or here in attendance and you say, I do not know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. I want to give you an opportunity to trust Jesus as your Savior this morning. Would you pray this with me and mean it in your heart? Dear Jesus, I know I've sinned. I know because of my sin, I deserve hell. But I trust you, Jesus, and you only, to get me to heaven when I die. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you prayed that for the first time and you meant it in your heart, would you please raise your hand so I can rejoice with you here this morning? Thank you so much. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these who are making decisions even as we speak. I pray that you would bless this brief time of invitation as we have an opportunity to spend some time with you, to make a decision for you that we might not have already made. I pray that you would bless in this time and these dear people. in Jesus' name. Amen. We're standing to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. What is the decision that we're making today? Are we deciding, Lord, I'm going to be verbal in my thanks. There's people in my life that's helped me and I've not said a thing about it. We're going to be passionate about listening to things that might not line up with Scripture. We're going to search the Scriptures daily. Could be that in our own walk with the Lord, we're wanting to stay wise to that which is good, simple to that which is evil. Could be, Lord, I need to be a better witness. I need to share the gospel. Whatever the case is this morning, as you stand there, would you please make a decision, as many others are? As we compare our life to the Word of God, we see there's definitely room for improvement in my life. I love that song, Search Me, O God, and Know My Heart Today. Aren't you glad we have a Heavenly Father who hears our prayer and our decision and helps us grow as Christians as we learn from His Word? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your blessings. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for this time and these people. And I hope, Lord, that it has been beneficial to them. We thank You for Your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Please draw your attention with me as we review some of the upcoming announcements on the monitors.
Good morning and welcome to our service. We hope this morning's sermon from Brother Chris Vestal was a blessing to you. Join us back here tonight at 5 to hear Brother Justin Lehman continue our verse-by-verse series through the book of Nehemiah.
Join us for a wonderful opportunity to help your child sing and develop their voices through our 2021 Children's Christmas Choir. This is for children 5 years old through 6th grade. We will be performing during the Christmas Changes Everything program on Saturday, December 11th at 5 p.m. and Sunday, December 12th at 11 a.m. Practices continue tonight.
Don't miss out on hearing Brother Mark Bushley, the Director of Fundamental Baptist Missions International, or FBMI, preach our services this Wednesday, November 24th, and next Sunday morning, November 28th. There will be an overtime teen activity tonight. We will take a bus to Dutch Brothers following the evening service. The activity will end when the bus returns to the church around 7 p.m.
The church office is preparing the 2022 personal tithing envelopes for our members. Could you help us in staying up to date with your giving envelopes? If you would take a minute to stop by the welcome desk and let us know if you would like to receive a set of 2022 personal tithing envelopes, or if you have received them in the past and would like to opt out due to online giving. And if we do not get a chance to hear from you, we will mark your preference as it was last year.
Ladies, it's almost time for our favorite event of the year, the Ladies Ornament Exchange. It will be Monday, December 6th at 6 p.m. Bring an ornament to exchange, your favorite snack to share, and join us for a great time of fun and fellowship.
Experience Christmas this year at Grandview. Mark your calendars for our Christmas events coming up in the month of December. The Witness is Majesty Sermon Series and the Christmas Changes Everything musical with choir and orchestra on Saturday, December 11th at 5 p.m. and Sunday, December 12th at 11 a.m. Finally, the Christmas Eve candlelight service will take place on Friday, December 24th at 5 p.m.
We are so excited about you experiencing Christmas with us. We encourage you, if you didn't get a chance to fill out this card, to drop it off on your way out. God bless.
There will be ushers at the back doors if you'd like to give your offering as you exit. If this is your first time here, we want to answer your questions and get to know you. Please fill out a Connect card in the pew in front of you and bring it to guest services as you exit the auditorium. We would love to meet you and give you a gift card. Have a great afternoon and we'll see you tonight at 5.
So these cards that are in your pew, if you would please take them and use them as a tool to invite folks to the different things that are going on at Christmas that we just heard about. Please take those and use them, co-workers, family members, neighbors. We put those there for you. I think there's maybe two or three in a stack, so it's not a lot. But if you could help us out with that, I believe that we could make a difference in the lives of people around us. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you again for these people, their attentiveness. Thank you for their attendance, their heart for you, their desire to serve you and do right. Please bless us as we've received your word this morning. May we take it with us and use it in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much.